Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. And today, we're taking you back to 1979 and the first ever bungee jump. Trish Flanagan reports.
It's April Fool's Day, 1979, and a group of young men have gathered at the Clifton Suspension Bridge in Bristol in the southwest of England.
I'm there, weightless, in space. This is near as I'll ever get to being an angel.
David Kirk had always wanted to fly, but he'd been rejected by the RAF because of colour blindness. Instead, he'd turned his attention to building and flying hang gliders, and now he'd become the first person ever to jump off a bridge with the help of elastic ropes, to bungee jump.
There's so much sensory input. You've got wind, whistle, and against all things your body said you shouldn't do on a April Fool's Day, even jump off a bridge. And then it comes down, and then sheer wonder as you come up. And this was, to me, was the fun of it, because I positioned the harness so you came up head first. And you had this wonderful moment when you were weightless, gravity for a brief moment at the top of the loop. And then, bang, you go down again.
The group, who called themselves the Dangerous Sports Club, had met while they were at Oxford University and shared an interest in risky sports. They had seen footage of vine jumping on Vanuatu, an island in the South Pacific. There, young men jumped from tall wooden platforms with vines tied to their ankles. The airfare to Vanuatu was too expensive, but one of the group, Chris Baker, had a plan.
We'd been taking our hang gliders with little elastic ropes on, and Chris said, well, look, why don't we use those elastic ropes? At school, as part of a cadet force, where you launch training gliders with very large elastic ropes. And also thanks to my father, who was an alpinist, I knew how to attach body harnesses.
Now the group had to work out how to replicate vine jumping and find a suitable venue.
First of all, we had to find the ropes. And there was a marvellous little factory in Morden. And they, of course, were delighted that we were going to do something new. So we went down to this tiny little factory powered by a watermill, and they gave me all the mathematical specs. I got a Nobel Prize nominee to work out the mathematics. And then part of the fun of the Dangerous Sports Club is actually working out what can possibly go wrong. And, of course, the last laugh is that you've always something you haven't thought of. But the rest of it, the attachments, carabiners, troll for body harness and all this, I knew from my days when my dad hauled me up mountains in Switzerland. I felt relatively relaxed about that. The problem was getting permission of the tallest bridge to jump off, because that was Clifton Suspension Bridge at 240 feet. It was run by a private trust, and they wouldn't even allow BBC to film costume drama on it. So there was no chance of doing it with permission. So we arranged it on April the 1st, just to confuse people, and I then arranged to do it at 8 o'clock. Then I put it back officially to 7 o'clock, knowing that somebody would leak. In fact, Alan Weston, one of the first jumpers, now one of NASA's best rocket scientists, made the hideous mistake of confiding to his sister, who promptly grassed us up to the police. Well, you've now got faced with the problem of getting four people off 120-foot ropes up onto a bridge, and the only way we could do it was by bringing in a whole lot of students at Oxford. And you don't wake up Oxford students at 7 in the morning. You have to keep going all night. So there was an all-night party at a flat Chris Baker had in Clifton, Bristol. And the magic mushrooms and strays were flowing everywhere.
So people get ready, there's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board.
There was some dancing, there was an avid game of billiards on Chris's large table. It was more like a very relaxed waiting room. One of my many heroes, and that is Curtis Mayfield, who was singing in the Impressions, "People get ready, it's when the diesels are coming, or when your time is coming." It's full of metaphors and faith and gospel, but people get ready when the time will come. Perfect contrast to the abrupt up and downs, but a certain floating grace of the bungee jumping.
After staying up all night, the moment had arrived for the risky experiment. The group had never tested the ropes. David, wearing a top hat and tails and holding a bottle of champagne, got ready to jump.
The police, having me tipped off, had turned up at this bridge, looked around and said, "Oh my God, it's an April Fool's joke, sod it," and went back to the station, giving us a free walk of the promenade. I cobbled together a sort of red-checked handkerchief and put it over my face because I said I didn't want Mum to recognise me in the Daily Mail tomorrow. And it was great fun.
And were you not afraid that the rope would break, that you'd plunge into the water?
No, I wasn't at all. If it had broken, it would have given so much resistance that I'd have dropped into the water fairly slowly.
What was the feeling among the group when you had completed the jump?
We've done it. Dave, what was I worried about?
But the adventure was not yet over.
But then, of course, the police came back. It seemed like a courtesy not to escape, but to face the music. And we were sort of hauled inside to the station and stayed overnight, breach of the peace. The British police were absolutely marvellous. I know of no other police force in the world that would have gone back to the flat, searched for drugs, found nothing, decided it was a decent adventure, and bought us the remainders of the red wine we had and gave it to us in jail in brown paper bags, saying, "Oh, well, that was a good laugh." You know, you don't get many police forces like that.
The group was charged with breach of the peace and appeared in court the following day. They pleaded guilty and were fined £100 each. Undeterred, the Dangerous Sports Club went on to bungee jump from the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco.
I thought, OK, I believe in this, but it's cost us maybe today's equivalent of £10,000-£20,000 in ropes and costs. Jump lasted 2 seconds. This is not likely to take on. In my world-weary experience, when you say something is not likely to take on, the chances are that it will. And I invented doing it from cranes, and I invented doing it from catapults with my friends. Credit has to be shared on all this. We continued to try and pioneer hang gliding and pioneer microlighting and come up with other new things. So that was it. It was just a way of expressing yourself, having fun, playing with new ideas. It was a sort of release.
If there's one standout image from that day, what would it be for you?
My standout image from that day was when I come down from Oxford and Chris had laid out these ropes. I saw them stretched out white on green grass near his apartment in Clifton, and I suddenly realised how long they looked. And I said, "Am I going to fall that far?" And I said, "Well, I've been on mountain ropes in mountains." They were half that length. I then suddenly realised, to use a cliché, the enormity of the occasion.
Bungee jumping is now a mainstream and legal activity, enjoyed by thousands around the world. The Dangerous Sports Club currently has 76 members. David is still experimenting with flying. He hopes to build a working model of Pegasus, the flying horse.
David Kirk was speaking to Trish Flanagan for Witness. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.